Well met, and welcome to episode 138, the Bill Shakespeare Project podcast for October the 30th, 2016. For our blog and previous podcast episodes, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. Bill Walthall, and in this podcast we conclude our three-month-long discussion of Antony and Cleopatra with a directorial production concept as well as a wrap-up of the play. Okay, at the end of every play's discussion slash podcast cycle, I like to put together a directorial or production concept and a possible cast for a play. And yes, I'm still doing this for Antony and Cleopatra, but I had real problems with it. I think they stem from the frustrations I have with the play itself as a whole, but more on that later. I picture a pretty monolithic set. In many ways, I like what the Ensemble Theater Company did with Macbeth recently in Santa Barbara, so I'm going to lift some stuff. The set panels, in a sense, will create the sides of a proscenium, with each side cutting into the shape at a diagonal slightly, maybe at about a 15 to 30 degree angle. Those pieces will be relatively narrow, no more than, say, 10 feet. Upstage from those, with a gap separating them, will be another pair of panels further cutting off the sides of the set. These would be at a sharper angle, somewhere between 60 and 75 degrees. Now, these two panels would not meet at the center, but would have a 5 to 10 foot gap between them for entrances and exits. So there are three possible avenues for the actors: the center gap upstage and the gaps to either side between the two panels. These panels would be flat, roughly textured, and not perfectly even in their light gray coloring. Despite being tall, they would also not go all the way to the ceiling, and if anyone cared to look, they'd find the panels seemingly in ruins. The top of them would be uneven, broken. This is a world in decay. And, like that ensemble production, I would make use of projections and scrims. The projections would be mainly to provide a kind of visual texture or tone, nothing necessarily realistic. I definitely want these projections to help the audience realize when we're in Rome versus when we're in Egypt, but I don't want this to look like somebody's vacation slideshow. There would also be a scrim that would be lowered from the ceiling between the two sets of side panels. Wide, but not so much so that it cuts off entrance and exit access between the downstage and upstage sections. I'm thinking we might be able to make use of this for Octavian's description of the events in Alexandria, or possibly even the battle, though, again, in this case, I wouldn't want it to be too realistic, more tonal, or maybe even map-based. I'm not bringing the story into the present day, though with some recent critics equating Cleopatra with a Kardashian, it's tempting. The use of swords and sailing ships in the play, I think, make it too much of a cognitive leap to go completely modern. However, I would want the costuming not to be purely period, either. More modern-ish in their cut, but with classical accents and colors. Off-whites and earth tones for Rome, golds, reds, purples for Egypt. Now, the actors. If we're going to make some attempt to depict the characters at appropriate ages, then we need to discuss the passage of time during the play. Over the course of the play, Antony ages from 43 to 53. I figure there's two ways to go here: split the difference, or go for a final age actor. Both Gerard Butler from 300 at 47 and Russell Crowe from Gladiator at 52 have the right physically imposing stature for the role, each at 6 feet or taller. Both can give us the realistic, grizzled appearance of a warrior past his prime, but still one who cleans up nicely. On the other hand, Octavian ages from 23 to 33 over the events of the play. I would want someone younger, slighter of build, someone more stiff, rigid. At 5'8 and 29, Tom Felton may be best known as Draco Malfoy in the Harry Potter films, but I think he has the slightly wound, too tight self-control perfect for a future Augustus. Now, we don't know the age of the historical version of Enobarbus, but from the characterization in the text, I see him as somewhat younger, smaller, less of a warrior, more sensitive than the general he follows. He's more cerebral, a thinker, a storyteller. Fitting that bill, and with a killer voice, is 37-year-old James McAvoy. the 5'6" star of the most recent X-Men films as a younger version of Patrick Stewart's Professor Xavier may be less physically imposing than his general, but there's a survivor's strength there. Until, of course, there isn't. Now for the big one. Cleopatra. When the play begins, she's 29 and she's 39 when she dies. Split the difference and you get 34. Now, around that age, I can envision either Eva Green at 36 or Gal Gadot at 31. Yes, I've used Green before in Lear, but she's got that allure so important to Cleopatra. Sexuality and sensuality that practically is palpable. Gadot is set to become the new Wonder Woman, and she was just in the recent comedy Keeping Up with the Joneses. Physically very attractive, an almost necessity for the role, plus she gets bonus points for her Middle Eastern / Mediterranean heritage, complete with accent. Both these women are relatively tall, over 5.5 feet, ready to stand toe-to-toe with Antony. But more importantly, they have that spark, that glint in the eye. You just know that there's something going on in there. But neither have the exotic look that many in the audience may expect from Cleopatra, despite the fact that the historical Cleopatra was Greek, not Egyptian. So do we go for accuracy, or do we provide the Egyptian that is expected? If we go for the latter, then I might go with Ruth Negga of the new film Loving. She has the more ethnic look, and at 34 the age is right, but she's short, well under 5.5 feet, so I'm not sure she can appear to physically dominate the stage or Antony. On the other hand, Indira Varma, who played the ill-fated wife in the BBC series Luther with Idris Elba and is now on Game of Thrones, is taller, between Green and Gadot in height, and has a more exotic look. There's a strength in her stature, and definitely an allure. Plus, at 43, she may play better into the audience's expectation of an aging queen. Cleopatra would die 4 years younger than Varma is now, but remember, we're talking legend here, not the history. As you can probably tell, this play, it's got me flummoxed, production-wise. I'm reduced to cribbing staging from one production and creating such a hodgepodge cast that I can't even narrow my choices down to single actors. What I do know is that I'd want my principals to be past their prime, and cognizant of that fact, and more fearful of than resigned to it. These are people used to being on top of the food chain, as it were, and they carry with them that expectation, if not an all-out sense of entitlement. They are beginning their fall, and they're not happy about it. If they aren't winning, then what are they? Is this why they are so invested in their acting out, their sense of performance? Anything to avoid facing up to the fact of their fall? I don't know, but I think there are some real possibilities here. But then again, this is not one of my better concepts or casts. Sorry. Need some teaching resources? Need to adorn your teaching materials with some Shakespearean goodies? Well, check out the Bill Shakespeare Project page on the teacherspayteachers.com site. We've got materials on Romeo and Juliet, Julius Caesar, King Lear, Othello, Troilus and Cressida, and Titus Andronicus, with more on the way all the time. Plus, you can find the handout version of the periodic table of Shakespeare. Now, some are free, some are for purchase, but all quality items. And for those of you who are asking for bigger poster-sized versions of that periodic table, you can order those from our Redbubble page. Links to both pages can be found in the navigation of this here website. At the end of our timeshare, somewhere between Rome and Alexandria. At the end of three months with that slap-and-tickle couple, Antony and Cleopatra. And I'm happy to be hitting the road and heading to Athens. More on that in a minute. Honestly, I'm not sure how I feel about this play. It's held in pretty high esteem by many critics, who've called it the last great tragedy, a mature tragedy. What does that mean? That the characters are of, shall we say, a certain age? That the writing's mature? I'm not sure. On either count. Sure, Antony and Cleopatra are older, kind of. Over the course of the real-world history in the play, Antony ages from 43 to 53, my age at this moment in time, so yeah, I'll buy old. Cleopatra ages from 29 to 39. I wouldn't call 39 old, but of course, you know, I still have crushes on Tina Fey, Salma Hayek, Marissa Tomei, and Taraji P. Henson, all on my side of 45. And I'd call neither of our characters mature. Neither acts as what I would expect grown-ups to behave. These are two people who, I suppose, are past their primes in their respective fields of expertise. For Antony, it's the nexus of military and political leadership. For Cleopatra, the combination of leadership and allure. It feels as if both are playing at being in love, but it's hard to discern if it's real, and if it is, then what that love ultimately is. And we don't, or at least I didn't, get much insight into who these people really are when they drop their masks, mainly because I'm not quite sure that they ever do. Cleopatra has no soliloquies, and Antony's are not exactly revelatory. That's not to say that I didn't find some aspects in the play interesting. I find Ino Barbus to be a fascinating character. And Antony's replacement of this barbaric right-hand man with one who is literally named Love, Eros, is wonderfully fitting for Antony as he trades military success for what I believe he believes is love. The crazy number of scenes and location changes represent an almost prescient presentation of a screenplay. It's incredibly modern in that way. So too, then, would be that ambiguity or lack of depth found in many modern screenplays' characters. So too, again, or three, I guess, is its crazy quilt of genre. A history with gaps, a tragedy without a satisfying tragic hero. As we wrap this play up, I find it less fascinating than frustrating. And in this frustration, I can't really say I enjoyed it. So, where do I place it? Within the tragedies, the last of the eight that I've read thus far. Even my previous least favorite up until now, Julius Caesar, was more enjoyable for me. And within the canon as a whole, also near the bottom, at 27 of the 30 we've covered. Only the second part of Henry IV, King John, and the two gents of Verona gave me less enjoyment. It just feels like a mess to me. So, like I said, I'm not sorry to see Rome and Alexandria in my rearview mirror. Of course, where do we go from here? Well, the title should tell you. Timon of Athens. Now, that's a much maligned play, and given that I really didn't enjoy this better regarded work, I've got major concerns. But maybe I shouldn't. Remember, I still like Titus. Anywho, it's off to Greece we go. Enjoyed this podcast, but you haven't been following along with our daily blog entries since our last regular podcast, you've missed out on subjects including Antony and Cleopatra, reportage, together alone, performance anxiety, who am I playing again, Antony and Cleopatra's history, man, again, Shakespearean cosplay, ain't talking about love, Antony and Cleopatra stage directions in dialogue, Antony and Cleopatra, Secrets and Scansion. Midpoint. Enter Octavia, then Pivot. And Antony and Cleopatra by the numbers. And remember, if you want an in-depth discussion or just a daily fix, you can follow us on our Facebook page and our Twitter feed. Just remember that those social media avenues are more for daily news and notes rather than deep discussions of the play under study. And join us again for our next podcast when we kick off Timon of Athens. We hope to see you then. You've been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project podcast for October 30th, 2016. For our blog and previous podcast episodes, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we shall see thee anon.